listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today on the line, veteran Western Mass journalist Kristen Palpini and Ron Chmielis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper. Kristen, Ron, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
This week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker released his full plan to reopen the state's economy as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. The four-phased approach allowed for some things to start immediately, such as manufacturing and construction, with some businesses allowed to open this Monday. Baker was asked this week how long it would take between phases.
At least 3 weeks, okay, between phases, but it could be more. The move to a next phase is going to be a function of a review of how we're doing in the phase that we're in, and that's going to be all about the public health data.
Kristen, Baker has some supporters for his plan, but he's also catching grief from those saying it's too soon to reopen and others saying the plan isn't aggressive enough. What do you think about it?
I kind of like it. I like that the head of Bay State is on board with this. I mean, they're the ones who are going to have to be handling it out here, so if they're saying it's we can maybe do this, then I feel pretty good about that. I like that we're going to be checking back in, make sure that it still makes sense. So cautiously optimistic.
Ron, compared to some more aggressive plans in other states, especially New England, you know, does this plan seem reasonable?
Well, I think it's very logical and it's very reasonable. And I think it reflects Charlie Baker's generally cautious approach to everything, to look for the middle ground. I think it's very responsible to look at other states and other situations and think you can make a decision based upon that. But I do understand that he's going to get grief from people who have been patient, who are law abiding, and they want to get going. They want to move on. And they're the ones saying it's not enough. But Baker has said all along, this is going to be a slow process. We're going to check and see how we're doing. He's being consistent with his approach. And I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt on this. And I hope people give him the chance.
Meanwhile, officials at colleges and universities around Western Mass are trying to figure out what to do about the fall semester. Most of them switched to remote learning to get through the spring semester, which was interrupted by COVID-19. Ron, you've done some reporting on this week. Is there any consensus among colleges about what they're looking to do?
Well, I think almost all of them have started a swing to looking to reopen. I'm actually a little bit surprised that some of the colleges in Boston are speaking as cautiously optimistic as they are. And I think there are some basic principles about social distancing, dormitory life, that they're coming to some agreement on even in their own locations. But there's no one rule that fits all. There's no pattern that they can follow. And I think each of them are going to have to, as the summer goes on, constantly adjust what they think they can do, get to August and see what's practical.
Kristen, there's also an economic piece to all of this. If colleges can't open to in-person classes, they'd stand to take a huge financial blow, as do their communities. What about this idea of balancing the physical health of a campus along with the financial well-being?
I mean, that's quite the balancing act. If you're not, you know, one of the top tier universities or colleges with like millions in your endowment, this is possibly a make or break time for you. And I don't know how you have kids come back to campus to live, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, when, you know, if the pandemic is still going strong. I can't see it working.
And as we continue to look at the impacts of COVID-19, the pandemic has had a profound impact on the world of sports. Professional leagues have hit the pause button for now, and it's likely when sports does start up again, games will be played in empty stadiums or arenas. And a recent study says it's too soon to tell whether Boston fans would even be willing to return to places such as Fenway Park or the Garden. Kristen, will going to a ball game or a concert be something you'd be comfortable doing at some point?
Geez, I don't know. You know, I was just talking about this with my husband because I'm really eager to get back out there like a lot of people. But, you know, we've been in lockdown for 2 months and we didn't do this for nothing. So I want to be very careful going back out there and still practice the mask, the hand washing, all that. But I'll probably be in the later crowd that goes out.
Ron, some professional leagues rely on ticket revenue more than others. If fans stay away, how much is it going to impact the economics of sports?
It's going to ruin some minor league teams. Let's start with that. Everybody's focused on Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL. They have revenue sources. They have TV. Minor league teams need fans. That's how they survive. And this is going to have a devastating effect, whether they're able to open in the middle of the summer or not. And I will say a little bit to what you just talked about with her, the idea of people coming back, that's a very good question. I think you'll get enough to put some people in the stands if that's what they agree is safe. But I think you're going to lose some of those people as well. This is going to be a huge hit for sports no matter what. And especially, as I say, for the lower level teams and the teams that really rely on in-person experience to survive.
And we wrap up this week with the dwindling number of Republicans in the Massachusetts Senate. Two special elections were held this week for open seats, including one in Western Mass where Democrat John Vilas beat Republican John Kane. Combine that result with another Democratic victory in Eastern Mass, and only four of the 40 senators are now Republicans. And in the House, the balance is 126 Democratic to 31 Republican. Ron, does this imbalance, particularly in the Senate, create problems in governing the state, or does it maybe make things run a little smoother?
Well, I think it's very unhealthy. And I would say that if the numbers were reversed, this is not pro-Republican or pro-Democrat. One thing is that Republicans are required to be on every major committee when you only have four. Some of these guys are on a bunch of committees because there's not enough of them to go around. In a sense, they have too much say. But I'm not in favor of any situation where one party or the other has such an imbalance in their favor. You can run the state that way. We have a Republican governor, and we're doing some good things, but it's not ideal.
Kristen, I'll give you the last word on this one.
I think this is very Massachusetts. We elect Democrats to Congress almost always, but we always almost always have a Republican governor, and I think it's been a good balance so far. I agree with Ron. It's a little dangerous when you have something so lopsided, but it's been working for Massachusetts all right.
Kristen, real quick, of course, 2020 is a presidential election and also is a state election year. Are the remaining Republicans maybe a little nervous because, you know, of the presidential election situation with President Trump, who typically has not been very popular in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think Massachusetts Republicans do have to distance themselves from Trump if they want to get elected this year.
All right, Kristen Palpini, a veteran Western Mass journalist, and Ron Chmielis with the Springfield Republican. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.